This is one of those times where I want parents and kids to listen up here, because I've got two guests with me now. One is from the Lane Education Service District, and one is a local driver's ed instructor here in town. Sherry Bandy and Rob Griffiths, how are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Doing well.
Thanks
thank
for having
you.
Us here, good. George.
You know, one of the things that I think everybody is concerned about is drivers on the road. Not just student drivers, but adult drivers as well. We all, over years, we gain habits. We learn things that may not be the right way to do things. So in our culture day, the idea is to start people off right. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
That would be a good idea, yes.
All right. And the reason being is because when it comes to student driving, my understanding is that there are a lot of things, a lot of troubled accidents, a lot of catastrophic accidents that could probably be avoided if students had some education. Sherry?
That's right on, George. We don't really like to call them accidents in the driver education game. We'd rather call them crashes, because they're all preventable. And the more that students learn about how to deal with any problems that they might encounter, the better they will actually do when they're out there driving.
Now, one of the numbers that I heard you mention when we were talking earlier is that 91% of crashes that are caused by students are students that did not go through driver's education.
Correct. In Oregon, over the last 4 years, the statistics show that of all of the crashes caused by teen drivers, 91% of those drivers did not take driver education.
And the weird thing, too, is that most of us adults remember when we were in school, it wasn't necessarily mandatory, but there was always the availability of driver education for anybody who wanted it. And most parents said, hey, we're going to break in insurance. We want you to do it. But Rob, that's not the case now in our culture today, is it?
Well, no.
In Oregon, anyway.
In Oregon, because it's not mandated, it's not funded. Schools did do it for quite a while here in Florence at Siuslaw High School. They dropped about 10 years ago. It was because of budget cuts. Tim Doherty was the last driving instructor that I knew of with Siuslaw High School till I came along. And so that's one of the reasons that I got involved in it, is that my oldest son, he's 21 now, he turned 15, and I became keenly aware there was no driver instruction available this side of Eugene, and a 3-hour round trip to Eugene for driver education was just not feasible. So I complained for about 3 years, and then finally decided to quit complaining and do something about it. And so I went and got trained and certified and started a driving school, which is me, myself, and I, Rob's Driver Ed, and here in town.
What kind of training did you go through? And this is from the Oregon Department of Transportation, right?
Right. So ODOT's training, it's very extensive. It's a lot of classroom and then behind the wheel. It's a lot of hours, but it's well worth it. When I started, I felt really quite prepared to engage teens. I guess the difference would be my oldest son, I taught him as a parent. His younger brother, who's about 3 years younger, I taught him as an instructor. He was in my first program that I held here in town. And with my older son, I knew how to drive. I drove cab for 9 years. I've driven school bus, well, at that time, for about 12 years, and had different jobs that involved driving, plus had driven 40 years almost at that point. But I struggled with communicating to my son the things that I knew. I knew what I wanted him to do, but I did not know how to tell him to do that. And so when ODOT trained me, one of the things was they gave me the language and the skills to communicate that, particularly with young people, and to be able to break down the behaviors and the skills into manageable steps. In fact, now with students, if they're struggling, I can usually identify the step where they are actually struggling with, pinpoint that, bring some correction, and enable them to be competent as drivers. And so the training enabled me to do that.
Sherry, what is the mission of the Lane Education Service District? What is your guys' goal?
The Lane Education Service District serves 16 school districts in Lane County, and we have a number of service areas. So we help some of the smaller districts with school improvement, and we do some of their admin things such as payroll. We also have a courier service, and we help give them things that they may not have in their budget.
But specifically how it pertains to driving, what's your guys' goal?
So Lane Education Service District holds a grant from Oregon Department of Transportation called the Lane County Driver Education Initiative. And that initiative, which we have created a program name called Teens Driving Safely, the goal of that program is to have all Lane County 15-year-olds take an ODOT-approved driver education course.
And, of course, that's difficult here in Florence because we have one ODOT teacher, you, Rod.
That is correct.
And you can only take on so many students.
Right. I cap at 18 students largely because of the behind-the-wheel component.
How many classes do you do a year?
I do a fall and a spring.
So just the two classes.
Just the two programs.
So you're looking at 36 students.
At the most, yeah.
At the most. And you said there's sometimes up to 200 and 300 students that are eligible?
Yeah, approximately in the high school, it's about 100 students per grade. As soon as they're 15, they can get their permit, which is usually in their sophomore year. For some, it's in their freshman year. So any given year, there's 200 to 300 students who are in a position to take driver's ed if it was available to them. I mean, some of them just aren't going to take driver's ed for whatever reasons, but I have a waiting list right now. I have my spring class is almost full, and I have a waiting list already for my fall program 2019. So the people want it. Parents want it. Teens want it. I've done it long enough that teens are talking about the program, and so other teens are finding out about it and that it's doable, it's helpful, and it does make a difference.
Well, before I go on to the financial end of it, let's continue on with the instructor aspect of it. If there's somebody out there going, hey, you know, I could do this, is there a way for them to be certified by ODOT? For them to be able to be a teacher as well?
Absolutely, there is. ODOT has several driver education instructor courses throughout the year. Most of them take place over 9 weekends, and their schedule is on Western Oregon University's website. They are the entity that does the teaching, but you can get there from the Lane Education Service District website. And you just, when you go to LESD's website, you just search for driver education, and it will take you to the area that gives you all of the information about the program.
Now, is there a cost for that program as well?
For the driver education instructor program, instructors pay a minimal fee of about $110, $120. ODOT pays the rest of the course for them.
So ODOT really wants mm-hmm. this.
Yes, they mm-hmm. do.
It's
yeah.
an initiative. When I took the course about, well, it's almost 4 years ago now, it was about $1,500 for the course, and ODOT paid that. I only had mm-hmm. to pay $100 for materials mm-hmm. That I used during the course.
So that sounds like a good deal. Let me talk before we get in, again, before we get into the financial aspect from the student's perspective, let's get into temperament. If a person's out there and they say they want to do it, I know there's got to be certain temperaments that are better off not trying to teach kids to drive. What do you bring to it that makes it a good thing for the student?
One of the comments I get is that I'm very calm and patient. And I tell all of my students I will never get mad at them for making a mistake. I said in the moment, my adrenaline might spike and my voice might go up, but I will not be mad. We'll talk about what happened. In fact, I encourage them that they'll learn more from the mistakes than they will from their successes. My job is to keep the mistakes from being catastrophic. So I have a brake in the car. I have my own mirrors. I can take control of the wheel. I can take complete control of the vehicle at any time that I need to. And so my job is to keep them safe.
I always wanted to sit in one of those cars to see how they operate.
It's right outside.
Yeah,
we can go for a ride,
we can
George.
That'd be pretty cool. That'd be awesome. Now, one of the other drawbacks to this is obviously finances. You know, folks are not always in a position to take that money out of pocket, yet they want their student, their kid, to learn this information. Now, there are some ways that the price can be reduced, right?
Correct.
The average cost of a teen driving class is around $510, depending on the provider and what they've decided to charge for it. ODOT pays $210 of that, and then they also offer an extra $75 for people who qualify for free and reduced lunch. But that can leave anywhere from $225 to $300 per student for families, and that's a pretty big barrier for them to overcome.
And but still, yet it's something that in the long run, like we were talking about in the Kiwanis meeting, how that, you know, a parent will pay $200-$300 for an activity fee for their student to play football or something, which 99.9% of students, once they leave high school, never play football again. Yet almost all of them will have to drive at some point. So it's a matter of a priority then, right?
I think it's helpful for a parent to not look at just the dollars, but they're investing in their son or daughter. They're investing in giving them a lifetime of low-risk driving, which is the goal, is to make low-risk drivers. Going back to what we talked about previously, there is risk in every time we go out and drive. In fact, driving is probably one of the highest risk activity that we happily give our kids the keys to the car and tell them to go off and enjoy. And it's one of the highest risks that us as adults engage in on a daily basis, and yet we don't think of it as risky because of the habits we've developed and all those things that have come. But the risk remains the same. There's risk because of road conditions. There's risk because of vehicle conditions. There's risk because of driver conditions. And so one of the things I do, one of the things that we do in Driver Ed is we make the students aware of what the risks are and then teach them to control the risks that they have control over. And by controlling those risks, they then reduce the amount of risk by a significant percentage. We can't control the sleepy driver that's coming down the road towards us. We can't control the person that's gone out and gotten intoxicated or the person that didn't maintain their car and their brakes are about to fail. But we can control our own behavior. We can control and manage the space around our vehicle as we drive and those different things. And that's what the education is really about, is getting the teens, the students, to take responsibility for the risks that they can control. And by doing that, reducing the risk to a controllable. As collisions have been analyzed, typically there's at least 9 risk factors involved in every collision. That's why Sherry said we don't call them accidents, because you have 9 risk factors that converge. Some of them cannot be controlled, but many of them can be controlled. And if a driver had chosen to control one or two or more of those risk factors, there probably would not have been a collision. And so by teaching teens to identify, first of all, the risk factors and then take control of the ones that they have, they bring that number, that accumulation of risk down to a more manageable. We can handle 3, 4, even 5 risk factors at a time. But once it starts to become more than that, it really moves to a point where a collision is inevitable because it's now gone out of our hands.
Well, and I know, too, is like, When you're observant on the road, you know, you talk about you can't help what the other driver's doing. But if you take away some of the risk factors that are there and you're more focused, you can be aware when something happens. I mean, just this last week, I had 2 instances where had I not been aware, I would have been broadsided by somebody that just didn't pay attention to what they were doing. So it's, again, it's eliminating your distractions, getting your skill level up, and then therefore being able to be more aware of your surroundings.
The 2 biggest factors that we have control over that often get us into trouble is space and speed. going too fast and following too close.
Yeah.
And usually a combination of the two. I drive back and forth to Eugene a lot, and I see the 8, 10 clusters of cars less than 2 seconds apart going 60, 65 miles an hour. And frankly, there, but for the grace of God, there isn't more catastrophic.
Oh, I know, because it only takes one person ahead to put their foot on the brake.
One flat tire, one deer jumping out, one slippery spot, just... And again, it comes down to, as drivers, we're often not aware of the risk that we're actually engaging in until something happens. And particularly with teens, because of where they are developmentally in their brains, are not really at a place to really evaluate the risk of what they're doing, which is why they do a number of the things that they do, including in driving. And so, again, part of the education is making them keenly aware of the risks that involve when they get behind the wheel and put a vehicle in motion.
Yeah, we're all invulnerable till we're not.
Yes, we're all okay till it's not okay.
Yeah. All right, so any other information that would be good to have out there for students and parents to know? I mean, obviously, your driving education that you give them is not the only thing they need to be receiving. Parents also need to take an active role.
Well, and they do. Even in my program, it's a team effort with myself as the instructor, the teens as the students, and then the parents. And what the parents bring, they bring two key things. One is I don't have enough time in the vehicle to really help the students develop what I'm teaching them. They need to go out drive, which means the parents need to be giving them opportunities to practice what they're learning till they start to become habits and develop those skills. But I think one of the biggest thing that a parent brings is incentive and modeling. Driving is really more caught than taught. One of the phenomena that I've discovered is if I have a student that tends to roll stop signs, I'll ask them, does your mom or dad or grandma or grandpa roll the stop signs? And almost invariably, yes. They are watching. And if they see the significant adult in their life doing something, their assumption is it's okay to do. Mm-hmm. And so parents need to evaluate their own driving in light of what are they passing on to their son or daughter through their driving behaviors.
And the police in this town will stop you if you roll a stop. I know two people already in 1 month that have already received $265 tickets.
I mean,
for rolling through a stop.
Not good for the pain of that, but
well, you know what they need to learn.
It's epidemic.
Yeah, it is epidemic.
It's epidemic.
And I find now, ever since those two people have gotten the tickets, I find myself now making sure that I stop at every come to a complete stop before moving on. So that's good lesson for me, and I didn't have to pay the fine.
Yeah, there you go. So, better to learn from others than make your own mistakes.
Well, thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
I appreciate Sherry Bandy and Rob Griffiths. Appreciate you guys being out there and waving the banner for driver education. It's a good thing.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it.
Coming up in the next hour, we'll talk to Lane Community College about some educational trips, and Joe Piscatella, heart healthy expert, is in town to do a talk at the FEC. We'll talk to him.